Mira a la izquierda, mira a la derecha. ¿Qué ves? ¿Dónde estás? In a world that seems to change daily, what will you do next? Welcome to the Next Steps Show with Peter Vasquez and co-host Aisha Kreutz, a starting point for discussion y un poco de dirección. Buenas tardes, good afternoon, ¿cómo están? What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Sí, soy yo, tu conservative New Yorker, aquí on Friday. Hey, did you guys miss me yesterday? I bet you didn't, because we had a Señor Luis Martinez, and that guy, well, I think he said it, the conservative Cubano, although he said Cuban, but come on, Luis, Cubano, great show, thank you for covering for me. God, I'm so glad to be back in the studio with you, Señor Voz de Libertad.
Oh, thanks. How do you translate? What's up? How does that go in Spanish?
It would be, ¿qué tal? Doesn't sound
well,
as...
Well, I think you should probably use that from time to time. The rest of your intro is Spanish.
It is,
but... Then you throw in there, what's up? Kind of... incongruous.
Well, I figured that whole nasal sound at the end would kind of wake people up.
It woke me up.
What's up? Anyways, I'll tell you, best freaking commercial in the world. Anywho, ladies and gentlemen, 346-3000. You know, I got a question that I want to ask you that, you know, you got to call me. 346-3000 and answer. A couple questions, actually. Hey, questions are, what does elections mean to you? Do elections even matter to you? The turnout is so low and support. Well, you know what? Listen, we got to support. But support on both sides, it's a little fractured right now, you know? But listen, ladies and gentlemen, if elections do matter to you, then I got to ask, is it about party? Is it about ideology? Or is it about the person that's running to get into that seat to do something, right? Because I'll tell you what, if you voted for somebody like Senator Cooney the Hutt, excuse me, I don't want to be disrespectful there, right? If you voted for the buffoon that we have in the White House, or the magician, the hocus pocus that we have at the State House, right? Were those votes about party or ideology? Because if you're going to say in those particular votes that, yeah, I voted for the person, well, then I guess my next question for you is, how do you feel about that right now? So, you know what? Today, right here on the Next Step Show, Seek with the Conservative New Yorker, we are going to talk with a guy that finally said, no mas. I'm done. Enough is enough. We're not going to do party. We're not going to do political ideology. We're going to focus on the person. We're going to focus on the people that matter, and that is the American people that are on this globe. And you know what? Listen, if you live in Afghanistan and you're listening, if you live in the Gaza Strip and you're listening, well, hey, you know what? I'm sure that for you where you are, right, that's all that matters in the world. And hey, go you. Pero aquí en los Estados Unidos, aquí in the United States, I, at least on the Next Step Show, always are going to bring you people that understand American values and are fighting to pull political ideology from the very services, well, you know what? Most people getting bent over and forced to scream without any kind of lubrication. You picture that however you want. So, ladies, without further ado, I am going to introduce to you to one of the most dynamic people that I've met in a while. A guy that came out a couple years ago as a heavy hitter, and he said, you know what, I'm going to do it your way for a second. But now, here today, he decided to throw everything he's got back into the fight, although he never really left. And he's saying, like I said, no mas. And ladies and gentlemen, that is nobody other than Chief Jim Vambretto, retired from the town of Gates. Boy, that name, the town keeps coming up. From the town of Gates, aquí, and the Next Step Show. Bienvenido al Next Step Show, sir.
Buenos dias to all our listeners out there. And you're right. You know what? I rolled out my campaign on Wednesday at the Rochester Police Locust Club. I am ready to go to Albany to be a pit bull, not a lap dog. And I am here because I am like everyone else. At what point do you say enough is enough? and we're done. Before everybody moves out of our state and they take away all of our rights and we keep paying the highest taxes in the world, we are done, and I am ready to go to Albany and fight. But I need our listeners, I need the voters to get me over the goal line on November 5th and fire Jeremy Cooney.
I agree. And ladies and gentlemen, when he says Jeremy Cooney, who he's referring to again, you know, let's clarify that. It is Cooney the Hutt. And you know what? I am going to stick with that name because anybody, in my humble opinion, that went from this icon in the community that was promoting things like healthy living, promoting things like family. And now what I see is a guy. And look, I'm not picking on him because he's fat. I'm picking on him because it wasn't until he became a politician that all of a sudden the nice cars and the obesity, and now what are we holding in his hand? A big old freaking bag of marijuana promoting it. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but that is not what I want my children to see as a role model in our community.
You know, it's interesting you said that. When I was the chief of police, right, I was a policeman. For 37 years, I was a public servant, not an activist. And I think that's part of the problem today. We have people that get elected that are activists, right, and they come with an agenda. When I was the chief of police, right, I would go on ribbon cuttings with my chamber of commerce, right? And sometimes I would go to a smoke shop and we'd cut the ribbon. I'd go to a tattoo parlor. But you know what? I maintain my morals and my moral compass and my values, right? When I went into those ribbon cuttings, if I didn't, you know, I'm not into the tattoo business. I'm not into the tattoos. I didn't lower my standards to go get a tattoo while I'm there. You know, I mean, at some point you got to live what you stand for. And I thought that was horrific when the guy went in there and he literally is holding up a bag of marijuana, so proud to be able to buy this marijuana.
It's insanity. And,
but that's what we have in office. You know what I mean? He'll play to whatever. You know, whatever the wind direction is today, he'll go with it and agree with it. And look, you can go to these ribbon cuttings, but just because you're there doesn't mean you have to agree with what that store is, you know?
Absolutely. And listen, I'm one that'll tell you, Jim, all day long that entrepreneurship is important. And whether we like it or not, hocus pocus, you know, she waved her magic wand and poof, all of a sudden we have a very ill-constructed cannabis rollout in this state, and there's all sorts of issues. But you know what really makes me even madder is that now, right, because remember, it was legalized a long time ago, right? And for all these years, because of their screw-up, right, because they wanted to give votes that election cycle, they roll this out, and now all of a sudden, all those people that were just kind of allowed to establish their stores in different areas under regular business, great, because it was legal. Now she's criminalizing every single one of them.
Yeah, and you know what's unfortunate is they only have 100 or less legal stores that are open across the state. And so she even admitted we have 35,000 stores selling marijuana with no license illegally, and now it's they want the police to go fix this problem, right?
Of course,
it's a law enforcement problem, and then they've made hardcore laws, right, that give the police to go in there, kick doors down and take stuff and take all their money, shut the business down. And it's just so disgusting how they pick and choose which crimes are going to be important while people are getting out in our community every day. They're being assaulted. Bullets are coming through your house. You're getting carjacked now with your kids in the car. But we got hardcore marijuana laws to have the cops go fix the problem.
And your opponent is nowhere to be found. Nowhere. No. Oh, wait a minute. He's probably on that whole concept of the train to nowhere that he wants to revive here in Rochester, which is
ridiculous thing.
It's silly. Okay, Jim, before we go too much further, okay, because there's listeners, I'm sure, I'm convinced that there's not one person in Monroe or surrounding counties that doesn't know who Chief Embretto is. Because everywhere I go, everybody knows. I'm just going to start following you around in my campaign, and I'll raise money, and I'll give a lot of volunteers. But let's talk to real quick. Who are you? I mean, but not the bio that you have on your, you know, on your websites, Jim. What I'd like you to do is just kind of in the next couple of minutes walk us through your life, right? What next steps you took? What trauma you endured and overcame that made you the Jim that you are today, that you care so much about our community? Because you don't have to do what you're doing.
Let's start from the beginning, right? I was born in 1963, okay? Mm-hmm. And I was a out of wedlock, unwanted pregnancy. And my birth mother at that time chose life, and she went through with the pregnancy, which was me. upon my delivery into the world, I was turned over to an Episcopal adoption agency. Most of your big religions all were having adoption agencies and programs for females to have their pregnancies. And then I was adopted within 3 months by a young couple, which is my dad now. He was in seminary to become a minister in the Episcopal Church. And I got adopted by and they adopted another baby, my brother. So two of us were adopted all at the same time. You went home and here was your family. And so I literally grew up in the church, right, living in the rectory next to the church, and my playground was the church and having fun. But I had a great upbringing at morals, values, you know, what's right, wrong, punishment, rewards. You know, thank God I had a great upbringing, and thank God my birth mother did that, or I wouldn't be here. Right? Absolutely. I would never have been here. And so, I got to grow up with a great lifestyle, and I had a passion early on to be a policeman, and at age 21, I literally went into law enforcement, spent 37 years fixing people's problems, right? 20% of my job was playing cops and robbers. 80% of it was coming up with solutions to long-term problems. After 5 o'clock, you can't call City Hall. You can't call your state legislator. And when you got a problem with your son, your daughter. But you know what? I was that cop who came to your house, right? I came to your house when your loved one committed suicide. I came to your house when there was a fatal overdose. I came to your house when you woke up one morning and your car was stolen. I came to your house when that dog of yours, you know, took off and ran away in the neighborhood and you just wanted somebody to go find your dog. That is what public service is all about. I'm from right from the grassroots. I'm from the trenches. And I'm ready to take that experience and go down to Albany. And we need common sense people.
Are you angry?
Let me tell you something. I'm starting to hyperventilate in here, okay? Because I am so mad.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Chief Jim Vambretto aquí on the Next Step Show. Si lo tengo en vivo, he's here live. No te vayas, because we'll be right back into conservative New York weekend aquí in the WYSL studios. Y no te olvides la voz de libertad.
Don't worry about a thing, folks. We're going to cut off the caffeine here in the studio here during the break. We'll be right back. In the Rochester and Finger Lakes region, one name stands above all others for real estate appraisal and advice.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
This full-service real estate appraisal company can appraise and advise on purchase and sales decisions, mortgage finance feasibility, estate, matrimonial, partnership buyouts, litigation, and more for any type of property, both residential and commercial. Ryan Murphy was founded almost 40 years ago. All of our highly trained staff members have at least 20 years of experience. All our appraisers are either New York State certified general or residential real estate appraisers.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
Start here. RYNNEMurphy.com.
Youth for Christ Rochester is growing. With the help from the John R. Wegman Foundation, we're adding Saturday mornings back to basketball, while the Saunders Foundation brings back skills and drills for the spring and summer. Our middle school girls program will be starting in a second school this fall. Watch for a new name change for that program. But we need your help. Make a one-time gift of $300 or a monthly gift of $25 to sponsor a kid for a year. Go to yfcrochester.org/donate.
Now that the good weather's back, you'll want to make sure your vehicle is in tip-top shape, whether it's for the daily commute or that vacation you're planning. For quality, affordable vehicle service, rely on Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge Road. Rock Auto has what your car, truck, or SUV needs. Oil change, brake service, suspension, or front-end work, exhaust, air conditioning, and tires. Check their Google reviews as one of Rochester's best for customer satisfaction. Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge, just east of Mount Reed, 434-5010.
Vasquez and Next Step Show on the WYSL stations.
And we welcome a brand new sponsor of the Next Step Show. It's Rock Auto Service on Ridge Road, just east of Mount Reed, as well as the real estate appraisal firm of Ryan Murphy and Associates. Here is your host for the most.
Thank you so mucho, señores and señoras over at Rock Auto. Ryan Murphy and Associates, listen, your sponsorship of this show for so long, sir, I can tell ya, You are forever in my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Next Step Show. And boy, Bob, you know, you turn off the lights, the shadows show up, and all of a sudden, poof, there's Aisha.
I know, I know. I had to conjure her up. You know?
You conjured her up?
Ha, ha, ha. Is that a
black
joke?
Oh, you got the inference there?
Look at that. It goes right to race.
She does, doesn't she?
That was funny. Is it, you know, the shadow? Sorry.
I really wasn't. I was trying to be funny, but apparently.
I thought it was funny.
It's just all black people just sit there and I say something about shadows and poof, you guys want to call me racist. What's up with that?
I didn't say racist.
I'm black too.
Did I say, yeah, you're brown shadow.
No. Listen, I identify as black.
Very well.
But not like your color black. I mean, like my laptop, I'm black. Don't call me brown no more.
Okay.
Well, anywho, I'm just kidding, Aisha. I'm just kidding. I love you, sister. I'm glad you made it in today. How's your husband?
Good. Busy.
Before break, I said, hey, Jim, are you angry? And he said, I'm hyperventilating. That's how angry I am. So why are you angry, sir?
I feel so bad to watch people being... We're being victimized. The government's foot is on our throats. We are being treated as second-class citizens.
And we're being called racist.
Everywhere you go, I went to the Day of Prayer yesterday, right? City Hall. Now, this was an event where you're supposed to all come together, put aside our differences, and let's pray together, and let's pray for our nation, our state. And two state representatives got up there and started... With the stuff, you know what I mean? And I'm like, it made me want to just walk away.
At the National Day of Prayer in downtown?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
And you know, I'm like, please, don't put them on. Don't put the politicians up there, right?
Yeah.
Because now we just started with the segregation and separation. Is that what they were talking about?
So they weren't talking about prayer. They were talking about some racial
issues and stuff. And I'm like, this is the Day of Prayer. This isn't the place.
Right.
We're trying to all come together. Let's stop. That's for another day if you want to have that.
What politicians went up and started, if you don't mind sharing or if you remember?
Sam Abrook and.
Of course.
And then Demond Meeks, right? And it's enough's enough, you know?
Yeah.
And that was not the place to do
that
it.
That wasn't the place. Right, right.
And please, next year, you know, have the mayor say hi, you know, have the county executive say hi. Let's not get into the politics
of
the day.
Have them there and everybody pray over them.
Right.
But, you know, just have them there and they don't even have to speak.
It just totally turned me off and it made me walk away and say, I'm not going to come back next year to listen to this crap. You know what I mean?
And
it's too bad because I got to be honest with you, when we all got there, it was like homecoming. All of us from different denominations, I've met most of these bishops in my last 2 years on the campaign trail. We had a great homecoming, hugging. It was really nice. And then the gosh darn two politicians got up there and it just ruined the whole thing.
It became political.
It did.
The political ideology is killing me. So, Jim, I introduced you as an individual that said no mas. This isn't about political ideology. Even though you got to run on a political line, and obviously you choose those. Those are things that you believe in and so forth. But why are you running, sir? Again.
Yeah. So look at, you know, I've been retired since 2022 and I sit home and I watch this stuff. And I also realize because of my position for the last 37 years that I do have some sort of platform for people. I think people listen to me and I could sit home and just ignore all this and enjoy my retirement. But I'm not that person. If there's anything I can do to try to help people. And so, you know, my wife and I, we prayed over. We went over this up until like really mid February before I committed because it's a huge lift. But I can't sit home and watch this, and I feel so bad for what's going on because so much of it's preventable. We're self inflicting damages to ourselves. These policies that they pass are not helping the crowd that we think we're trying to help. And I can't sit back and watch. I am not a career politician, but in my 37 years, I've seen a lot of policies that work great, and I've seen a lot of policies that fail. I do have some life experience, and part of our problem is if you look at the six Democratic delegates that represent our town, our community, three of them are attorneys, you know what I mean? And I have nothing against attorneys, but I just think they think differently than the average Blue Cross citizen who still goes out and mows my lawn. You know, I wash my car, I mow my lawn. I'm just like all my neighbors. And but we're fed up. You know, we're tired. And you know what the five most dangerous words are out of Albany? When they come out and they say we broke a glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. When you hear we broke a glass ceiling, that's not good, man. Hang on to your wallet or watch your rights go out the go out the window.
It used to mean something good.
It did. It did.
You know, it used to mean something good. So let's talk about some of these policies. Jim, I mean, but crime rate in Monroe County, we know that there's different types, but overall crime rate is approximately 19.51% per 1,000 residents in your regular year, right? The rate of violent crimes, though, in Monroe County is reported to be 2.111 per 1,000 residents in a standard year. That's according to, I think it's crimegrade.org. And those numbers are kind of higher than the national average.
Yeah, and you know, I don't even like statistics, right? When I was the chief of police, you know,
sounds good in a radio show.
Everyone wants statistics, right? Well, first of all, statistics are not always reliable. Right now, okay, I was talking to another chief today. Do you know how much crime is going unreported right now? Mm-hmm. Box stores don't even call anymore when the shopping cart goes out the front door because they know there's nothing that's going to be done.
Right.
So throwing numbers is the perception is the reality. If people perceive that if I go to Target today, you know, my car might get stolen or I might witness something going down inside the store. That's what the reality of it is. So I know they all throw numbers at us and murders are down. Well, they're not down. If you're one of the 58 people that got murdered last year, how's your family doing right now, right?
Well, we're pretty high right now, and it's only May. I think we're at, 20 or something deaths, if I remember. Bob, do you know off the top of your head?
I thought it was in the high 20s, maybe. Yeah. Chief, do you?
I'm
29,
28.
He doesn't like numbers. He's like, but those, you know, one of the things, right?
You know what, Aisha, I hate to even reduce it to numbers. Yeah. Because the chief just made a great point. If you've had a murder in your family,
it doesn't
matter. The relevant statistic is one.
That's right. And that's what I was going to say. And you're the person you had said before, right, that went to the families to have that, right? So, you know, people should understand that. There is a difference, right, that when you're going and you're having to tell someone that their loved one, you know, has been killed.
It's the most horrific thing you ever have to do. It is. But here's the reality, right? We all know that 2 days ago, two people in the town of Greece got shot at 4:30 in the afternoon in broad daylight. You know, so who cares what the numbers are?
Right.
That's what's hot right now. People in Greece are like, "How did this happen in my town?"
Right.
And what are we going to do to stop that?
Absolutely, and I'll tell you where numbers do matter. They matter to those politicians that are sitting up in Albany that want to pull ridiculous laws that they try to justify with numbers. In my statistics class, I hated statistics, but I ended up getting a high grade. I ended up getting a high grade and almost failed Spanish when I took those. But I hate it because you can literally make it say whatever you want, right? You could skew it. I mean, Aisha and I at one point would tell people, listen, they call you and they, you know, these pollers, especially when, you know, there's somebody you don't want in the office, don't give them answers or don't give them right answers. So, you know, that's kind of what controls some of these things. And if you're not looking at control groups, you're not looking at really how they put that together, you're not getting a full picture on it. However, they use those numbers
to pass. And they policies and to dupe the general public and to say, oh, look at this. You know, these are what the numbers are. Again, oh, crime is down, this and that. Yep. And then, you know, they fluff it all up and you're like, well, that's not even true. Yep.
And as a result, they came up with policies like raise the age.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So tell me something. You're running for office. I want to talk about your 3-point plan here in a minute. But this raise the age thing, though. I mean, is that one of the factors? Raise the age. What's the other one? Clean slate, bail reform, discovery. Because as a police officer, you understand discovery laws. How does that motivate you to run? Because that's leading to the highest crime rates around.
I was chief of police when all those laws were being discussed, right? And then they ultimately passed. And I held a press conference on every one of those topics. We stood at my school district in the superintendent's office. I was so impressed that my superintendent allowed to do this. With all the other chiefs, and Sandra Dorley was there, the district attorney. Everybody was there. And we said, this raise the age is not going to be good. This is not going to work. We're not going to get the resources. I have more control over a case when I send it to my little town judge, right? There's nothing better than that little town court that everybody you know, drives by. And I can get more justice out of a town court because it's more personalized. And I can say to the judge, hey, this is somebody that really needs a second chance. This is somebody that really needs supervision. And what happened? Raise the Age came, and we didn't get one. Law enforcement got no resources to help these kids. It is the pipeline to prison, the juvenile justice system.
You know, real quick before we go, Damon Meeks, right? That is a joker that I personally saw, and so did others, take people to some of the community associations in the city that weren't along this whole craziness and just destroying those meetings. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your conservative Neo-Rican, Tenimo al Jim Vambrato. We can't forget La Señora, the
extraordinary machine.
And La Voz de Libertad will be right back right here on WYSL 346-3000. Make Bob D'Angelo work. He looks bored.
They try to copy my swagger. I'm on that now. I'm sold 3008. You sold 2000.
Peter Vasquez and Next Step Show on the WYSL stations.
Welcome back to the Next Step Show, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Bob, let that song go. I'll be quiet for a second so you guys can hear it. It's right, ladies and gentlemen. You know this song talking about poison. I guarantee you, when he was writing that song, he was thinking about some Democrat politician. I'm sure of it. Anyways, thank you, Bob. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, it is halfway through the shows. If you haven't done this already, stand up. Let some music just play in your head for a second and let that stress just kind of roll off you. You know why? Because it is Friday and it's sunny and it's beautiful. And more importantly, check this out. You can go out and about and meet this fine gentleman right here who's going to sit here today, right, as we're talking, and take your calls and answer your questions. So 346-3000. Emira, don't forget that in the beginning I asked you, do elections matter to you, right? And if they do matter to you, and you did go vote for Senator Cooney the HUD, right? If you did vote for him, then answer. How is that working? Because I'll tell you, like I said before, we got a guy here in studio today that is running. Now, last time, Jim, you didn't lose by much.
No, it was pretty good.
Like the margin of fraud, right?
Margin of fraud. that darn computer glitch. I still can't believe my first time ever running for office. We're all excited. We're at our little headquarters. You know, we're all rah rah, and then there's a problem with the election results coming in, and we sat around until midnight, 1 a.m. Then finally went home, went to bed, and it was deja vu. And disgusting. And you know, nobody was ever held accountable for that. Our county executive runs the Board of Elections. He oversees everything.
Yeah.
And that guy that night didn't even get on TV to talk to the residents of Monroe County, reassure us that everything was under control. And that was a lack of leadership that night on election night.
Yeah.
And the news was calling me, Chief, what do you know? You know, nobody had any information, and that wasn't right. And that was a lack of leadership right there.
That seems to be a common theme, though, in the county, in the state. I mean, in the county clerks, there's, not that long ago, there was this big press release, all this, you know, talking about stolen checks. Right. And then, you know, we're going to get back. And what are we now? Like almost it's going on almost a year later or close to it, at least.
Right,
and nothing. The ARPA funds, telling legislators, right, duly elected legislators that they have. Check this out. Did you know this, Aisha? That they have to sign non-disclosure agreements to find out why an appointed individual, right, or with a contract through the legislator can't share with their constituents why things aren't fishy when they're fishing. They want to build trend. And this isn't Republican or Democrat. This is all of them.
Right.
Every single one of them. So tell me something. If you're in the Senate and you go in to meet with the governor and the governor says, I'm sorry, you know, you gotta swear to secrecy here, what would you do?
Yeah, walk out of the meeting. We're not going to have that meeting.
Absolutely, absolutely not. And the thing is, you know what? I would encourage you to move publicly to even end that meeting because there should be no private meetings going on. None, right?
None.
People's
zero.
Business.
Nowhere.
Those are our elected officials.
You know what gets abused in these public meetings all the time is this executive session thing.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
They just this is a little the secret. enclave that they retreat to when they don't want the public to know about this. And that should not be allowed. Frankly, I don't care if you're discussing somebody's career or whether they're going to get fired or they're going to get disciplined or whatever. I make the argument that that's the kind of proceeding that needs to be done
absolutely
in public.
I mean, listen, if the guy, guys, ladies and gentlemen, it was brought to our attention that this individual has a significant health issue. Well, what's the health issue? Well, none of your damn business. He has a health issue, period. Okay, we can accept that. But to tell us, you know what's even crazier? And you guys can look this up. A few years ago, the town of Henrietta created an ethics board, right? A committee of ethics. It was closed meetings. and it was for the ethics and the supervisor, but the supervisor was part of these closed meeting ethics things.
Not the taxpayers, you mean? The taxpayers didn't get to know what it was.
I think there were people from the community that can come in or that were appointed or part of it. But these things have to be public. Yeah. All of them.
You know what else is not right are these payouts, these civil payouts when they settle lawsuits and it's taxpayers' money.
It is.
You know,
it is.
And we have no right to know why or what. And
So I know we're talking about your race, but I do got to say that again. I remember on a recent commercial, the clerk's talking about it didn't cost taxpayer dollars to move the Arundi Quay, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Just because taxpayers through the taxpayer collection isn't funding the DMV or the clerk's office, but guess what? Taxpayers have to go there and pay a lot of damn money. So don't exclude taxpayers when you work for the government. John, thank you for calling the Next Step Show.
Hey guys, hey Jim, I got a tip for you. How to beat Cooney? Number one, you gotta be like Trump. Trump got elected by ridiculing these guys, and they deserve it. In Cooney's case, I got a name for you, Marijuana Cooney. How do you like that?
I thought you were gonna say just hang a carrot in front of him, and then he just won't go for it because it's a carrot.
But you know, seriously though, the media is the problem in this country. Definitely on a local level, on a national level. It's been shown that 2005, there was a report, survey done by UCLA, that 80% of the media is biased to the left, and it's gotten worse. And this, you talked about the election results when you ran. There were some real problems. Where is the publicity? Where is the background stories by the Democrat and Chronicle and WXXI on the New York Citizens audit? I haven't seen anything about that that movement, which has uncovered unbelievable discrepancies in our election process. They just ignore it. It's the media. That's the problem, Jim.
No, I agree. As a candidate, it is hard to get the news media to even talk to us. They only come to us when it's something that they're interested in and they want an opinion on. We put press releases out all the time on issues and, you know, what's going on at the U of R right now or you know, whatever the hot issues are. And trying to get coverage is like zero.
But they didn't even come to the Crime Week.
No, you know, how bad was that, right? I mean, we had a Crime Victims National Week was about 2 weeks ago. We had a press conference up at Highland Park. There is a county-funded and county-provided memorial up there for all the crime victims of Monroe County. And we did a press release. We wanted to roll out our three-point plan. And nobody showed up to cover it. And what was interesting also that week, I think other than Sheriff Baxter, I didn't see one other political person talk about Crime Victims' Rights Week. You know, it's the week that you acknowledge what can we do more for these crime victims so that they walk away from that horrific experience of the criminal justice system feeling like at least something was done for them.
Absolutely.
And nobody even took the time to acknowledge it. And then we had the week from hell, okay? The amount of crime that happened that week, we had three murders. We had the domestic violence victim get hacked up with a machete. We had the security guard get assaulted. We had eight people die of an opioid overdose that week. It was the week from hell when it comes to crime victims, and nobody even addressed it.
No. Nope. John, do you have anything else?
Yeah, the other thing I was going to mention is the crimes nationally, I think, is down, and I even think in New York State it is. But I think Jim, you brought it up. The thing is, people aren't being arrested. I can tell you, I have personal experience. We have had a lot of problems with panhandlers around our building here downtown. And it's not that they panhandle, they get into traffic. And before January 1st, 2020, the police were able to pick up these guys and take them downtown and slap some type of offense against them. The police told me, as of January 1st, 2020, that they're not going to be able to do that anymore. They're just going to have to keep them there. So those were just – now, these are minor crimes. I can imagine if you multiply that over the whole spectrum of crimes, that's what's keeping the crime wave down. The police, our hands are tied, and they refuse to and the powers that be refuse to let the police do their job.
Yeah, and look, that homeless thing is it's a quality of life issue, number one. Number two, if those aren't really people that are in need, we're failing them, right? We have a $237 billion budget, and we still, every time I get off every expressway ramp, whether it's Lyle Avenue with 390, Mount Reed and 490, you almost know them by their first names, the people that sit there and beg every day. And so either we're not doing our job right, or if they are scamming people, then they need to be arrested and get out of here, right? I mean, no doubt. So
absolutely. When we get back, I want your opinion on the whole immigration thing, if we can.
Oh, I got a lot to say about that.
I bet. I'm sure you do. Ladies and gentlemen, no te vayas. Si soy yo, tu conservative neo-Rican, aquí en The Next Step Show, aquí en the WYSL studio. Si regresamos, we'll be right back.
In the Rochester and Finger Lakes region, one name stands above all others for real estate appraisal and advice.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
This full-service real estate appraisal company can appraise and advise on purchase and sales decisions, mortgage finance feasibility, estate, matrimonial, partnership buyouts, litigation, and more for any type of property, both residential and commercial. Ryan Murphy was founded almost 40 years ago. All of our highly trained staff members have at least 20 years of experience. All our appraisers are either New York State certified general or residential real estate appraisers.
Ryan Murphy and Associates.
Start here. RYNNEMurphy.com.
Baseball, hot dogs, and the American flag. They're all part of the rich fabric that makes our country great. Show your American spirit by purchasing your flag from the Stars and Stripes Flag Store today. When you do, you are supporting critically needed services for local veterans at the Veterans Outreach Center. Let's show our veterans that we care by placing our nation's symbol on the porch of every house in our community. The Stars and Stripes Flag Store, 783 South Avenue.
Now that the good weather's back, you'll want to make sure your vehicle is in tip-top shape. Whether it's for the daily commute or that vacation you're planning, for quality, affordable vehicle service, rely on Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge Road. Rock Auto has what your car, truck, or SUV needs. Oil change, brake service, suspension, or front-end work, exhaust, air conditioning, and tires. Check their Google reviews as one of Rochester's best for customer satisfaction. Rock Auto Service, 1132 Westridge, just east of Mount Reed, 434-5010.
I'm Tom Wall's team member, Hunter. It was really busy. I'm on grill, and this guy points at me from across the counter, and everything got quiet. He shouts,
"That was a great cheeseburger you just cooked me."
Everything got noisy again. Tom Wall's.
Tom Wall's.
Next Steps with Peter Vasquez on the WYSL stations.
And the Next Step Show, proudly brought to you by the real estate and appraisal firm of Ryan Murphy and Associates, Rochester, the Finger Lakes, Western New York. Also, Rock Auto Service, Westridge Road, near Mount Reed. Here's Peter.
Welcome back to the Next Step Show, ladies and gentlemen. And Jim, I'm going to have to hold on 1 second about the immigration question and your opinion on that. That was a really good bump song, by the way. Keith, thank you for calling the Next Step Show.
Yes, I know you wanted to ask him about the illegals, but following up on John, I wanted to make...
Hey, Keith. I just wanted to let you know the meter's running, by the way.
Hey, Keith. How are you, sir?
I'm kidding, my friend.
Yes. All right. Three fast points. And so far as how this bird, Cooney, operates, how he flips around. You were talking, of course, about the marijuana, but I saw pictures. He was at a dedication with nuns. Some dedication. He even gave one of them a plaque, and I could tell from the outside pictures it was the convent on French Road. So he goes from the nuns to marijuana, but no one connects the dots. I wonder what the nuns would have thought about the grass thing.
Sisters of St. Joseph out there.
All right. Secondly, your guest mentioned, as I heard it, that he does not have any tats and piercings. I don't either. But my point is, again, with John, if you're going to approach these young people today, since like one-third of them at least have those dreaded tats and piercings, I know I've asked several young women, why do you do that to yourself? It just detracts from your beauty. These young people, if they can, put two coherent sentences together. But that's my advice to your candidate, that he's got to approach these young people on the level they're already at, whether it's the tats and so on, but you have to get to them where they're coming from. And third, on that audit New York, and so far as fraudulent registration, when they took their concerns to Attorney General Letitia James, she tried to make them into some kind of Trump group, and she completely dismissed them. The Democrats are fearful of an honest count, and you would think the AG, our state's highest law enforcement officer, to call her that, would be interested. But you look into it, Letitia James has no interest at all at the very good work that Audit New York is doing. And I think, politely in closing, all of this has to be brought full circle as so far as how you go after Cooney and take him on as so far as bringing in these young voters again, wherever they are at in their life, with their tats and piercings, by example. You got to find a way of getting to these people where they find themselves in life and hopefully bring them over to our side. Thank you. Bye.
Keith, I appreciate your call. John, I appreciate your call. Chief, you want to respond to Keith or John?
No, you're right. We have to be able to relate to the new voters and understand their perspective and also get them interested in government, you know, besides whatever their one or two issues are.
Absolutely.
But no, it's a great point. Letitia James, you know, it was so disappointing. We had a great candidate that ran against her in 2022. And unfortunately, she won a second term, and now this is what we have.
Yep.
And with the young voters, though, you know, or young folks coming up, and again, we have to remember that a lot of the things aren't being taught in school about civics and stuff like that. And so they're coming out not even registering to vote straight away and not understanding why politics is how it's going to affect their lives, you know, and that hear it from them all the time because I work with a lot of youths and, you know, they're like, I don't know about all of that. What does the politics even mean? Why does it matter?
The ignorance, and I don't mean that as an insult. Right. I mean uninformed.
Yeah.
The ignorance of young people is graphically illustrated by their attitude towards the Middle East right now.
Oh, my gosh.
With a chanting about the Palestinians.
But isn't
in Columbia, you saw what's happening in Columbia University, destroying the whole hall, all of that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Isn't it, I mean, let's go back to the BLM days in 2020 when they took over cities. But isn't that kind of like, isn't that why we have parents and parents have rules and we have consequences and all those other things, right? So that they don't grow up to do those things. That's what we're seeing is a result of a cultural shift.
A society with no responsibility or accountability.
I call it a sociology run society run by political ideology, but
right, and not rooted in morality or in belief in something larger than themselves or their own experiences. They're turned into automatons.
They are
basically by pop culture and by the educational system.
Yep. And it's run by politics. So Jim, immigration, real quick, because I want to make sure that we get to your 3-point plan before we get to the end.
Real quick on immigration, right? 2017, I was the chief of police. Trump was in office. And to get even with Trump and him wanting to build his wall, the big thing in these Democratic states and cities was to become the sanctuary state. So I'm sitting in my office one day and the mail comes and I got a letter in there from Governor Cuomo to all the chiefs of police of New York, okay? Directing us, they want us to sign this this order acknowledging that if we, as a local police agency, if we cooperated with the federal law enforcement Border Patrol in any investigations when we come across people that were illegal and we allowed to run any data on those state-owned computers that are all our police cars, that they were going to take away our computers if we didn't sign off on this SOP that we were not to cooperate, right? So this whole thing has been in the making for years. This sanctuary.
Crazy.
See, they didn't think this would ever come true. What was happening right now, you know? And so it was really cool to say you're a sanctuary state and tried to get local law enforcement not to participate. So,
real quick here, guys, we're coming down to the wire, and you've teased this a couple of times, Peter. The 3-point plan on immigration. Ellen, you're waiting on the line. I don't think we can get to you today. Sorry about that. Give us a call next week, but I want to make sure we get this in.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Although what you were talking about immigration was so intriguing that I was like, I almost lost track of time. But yes, 3-point plan.
Actually, the 3-point plan was for our crime victims is what we broke. We wrote that out. Number one, because of the bail reform, cashless bail, most all suspects are back out in the community. So we really got to have a real witness protection program, right? You see those things on TV. I can tell you right now, the cops in New York, we have no way to keep somebody really safe. We need to have a fully funded witness protection program.
Isn't that Crime Stoppers?
No, witness protection. We can actually, you know, give you extra security, move you if we have to.
Real? Well, okay, gotcha.
What else? What are the options? An order of protection doesn't stop bullets, as we've seen over and over, people getting killed with order of protection. All right, so we got to have some sort of a protection program in place since we're not going to hold nobody. We have no danger standard.
Right.
Okay. Number two, it's about taking care of these families, okay? And specifically the murders, right? So what happens after a horrific murder, right? The GoFundMe page starts. That is your crime victims assistance program, the GoFundMe page, right? There's different ideas that I have that we could do to help the kids that have been lost their loved one to a homicide. We have all these public schools. We have MCC. We have SUNY Brockport. That defendant goes to jail. He can get a master's degree in the New York State Department of Corrections. Why can't these kids go to MCC with free tuition? We're already paying for these schools. You know what I mean? But the victims have no rights in New York is what I'm trying to say. And then lastly, we got to hold these defendants responsible to pay restitution. And not just let them off the hook. You stole somebody's car. You know, the victim's out money. You have got to pay them back. And I don't care if it takes 10 years to pay them back, but we got to hold them responsible to make the victim whole.
Because we used to do that with the restitution.
Yeah, and now the Democrats got away with that, too, because it's holding them back, right? They can't move forward.
It becomes a racial issue.
Yeah, right.
Oh, we can't do it because, you know, they're black or brown, and all of a sudden, I'm like, well, Aisha, we've said this is a black and brown. It's like insulting that they say that. Very much insulting. Yeah, Jim, what kind of next steps advice can you share with our listeners? I mean, I can tell you the advice that I'd give is vote for Jim.
Yeah, look, people have got to get off the sidelines. That worked years ago. Right now, our country is in such despair. The flags are all upside down. You have got to get off the sidelines. You have got to get involved. We got to get out and use your constitutional right to vote. That vote is everything. That is the most powerful weapon you have is to cast your ballot. And you got to get off the sidelines, sitting behind a keyboard on Facebook and complaining and Twitter. Okay, we're done with that. We need people have got to get involved and get your friends involved, or otherwise we're going to have the same old after November 5th.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jim, how can somebody, you know, get a hold of you, donate, volunteer? Where would you send them to get a hold of you?
Real simple. A website, you know, is jimvanbredero.com, www.jimvanbredero.com. Go on Facebook, type in my name, same thing.
Jim Vanbredero. Jim, there's nothing easy about Vanbredero. I'm just saying.
Common
ladies
spelling.
And gentlemen, it's been the Next Step Show. Con el señor Jim Vanbredero running for Senate in the 55th District. We had Aisha, la voz de libertad, say it with me. Leadership is the beacon that guides me, for it's through selfless service that I illuminate the way for others to find their own greatness. Mira, be a leader. Cast your vote. Que tengan una semana bendecida. And no te olvides que la voz de libertad aquí en the WYSL station. You're a conservative New Yorican. Sí, señor Jim. Y Aisha, te amamos.